Welcome to Canvas Church. You are listening to our weekly celebration service message. Thank you for tuning in.
Turn in your Bible to Psalm 139, going to an Old Testament book, the book of Psalms, Psalm 139, and we're going to read some portions of that scripture. Over the next several weeks, we're going to be talking about what we're going to mention as life marks. Some big ideas that if you grasp will help you walk in the abundant, wonderful life that Christ Jesus has for you. And today's life mark that we're going to talk about is that I believe my story matters. I believe my story matters. And this is such a crucial one that we're going to talk about today because although many of us here today might believe our story matters, there's portions of our story we would like to omit. There's portions of our story we would just like to cross out and believe never happened, because how many of you guys know there's some beautiful moments in life, right? There's some moments in life where, man, this is beautiful and I love this part of my story. But you know what? On the flip side of that, there are some brutal parts of our story, right? And it's those brutal parts that we would like to X out. It's those brutal parts that we would like to omit. But here's what we're going to understand today is that life is sometimes beautiful and life is sometimes brutal. And there was an author that wrote that really our lives are brutal, right? It's both beautiful and brutal. And you know what? It's both the brutal parts and the beautiful parts that make our story have context, that make our story incredible, that really make the light of Jesus shine in and through our life. And so we need to learn not to omit the brutal parts, but we need to learn to embrace them and allow it to be part of the text of our story. And I believe if we understand that, we won't spend so much time trying to hide those parts, but we'll just allow those parts to be seen so that Christ can be glorified. Because really our life is kind of like a puzzle. Anybody like putting puzzles together? Nobody? Thank you, Jesus. I'm with you. Me neither. I was fine when it was like, you know, the 10-piece puzzle. Right? And you just know where everything fits and everything goes together. But honestly, there are some of us in here that like those big, huge puzzles. Those 5,000, you are weird. God bless you. But those 5,000-piece puzzles, you know, where there's just stuff strewn all over the table and you have half of this corner put together and some of the middle and some of this side and some of that side. And then there's pieces everywhere and there's about 50 pieces missing. Right? That's what life looks like. And we're just trying to figure it out. So as we tackle these life marks over the next couple of weeks, here's what we're going to discover, I believe. We're going to discover who we are. It's essential. And why we're here. Who we are in Christ Jesus and why we are here. Because I believe once we discover and really begin to wrap our minds around those two things, even the crazy parts of our life begin to make sense. Right? Anybody have any crazy parts of their life? Crazy parts of your story? Well, I believe that when we begin to understand who we are and why we're here, that even those crazy parts of our life begin to make sense. I believe my story matters. Psalm 139, we're going to start in verse 1 and we're going to read this. But before I get there and start reading it, you got to understand who's writing it. Because who's writing it begins to give this text more context. And who's writing this is a guy named David, who is one of the great kings of the Bible. Matter of fact, the Bible describes David as being a man after God's own heart. How many of you guys think that's a cool analogy, a cool description? Wouldn't you like to be known? Like, hey, there's Pastor Ben, a man after God's own heart, right? I would love that to be said of me as I'm leaving today, you know. I want to be, and this is said of David. This is a man after God's own heart. And if we just caught that verse and read this, we would think that David was this magnificent person that had it all together. But in order to understand the text, really, we need more context, because David wasn't perfect. Matter of fact, David made some major, major mistakes. He had some very brutal parts of his story, some very painful parts, one of which David was an adulterer. David actually committed adultery as he was the king in the palace. He committed adultery. He slept with somebody that wasn't his wife, and her name was Bathsheba. And you would think that would be brutal enough, but to make the story even more brutal and to give this more context, that David would go on and not only be an adulterer, but he'd become a murderer. And he would actually set it up to where the man that was married to Bathsheba, the one that David committed adultery with, that he set it up so that he would be killed. This is the David that wrote the text that we're about to read. David understood that there are some beautiful moments of life and some brutal moments of life, but yet together they tell an incredible story about the grace, the mercy, and the redemptive works of Jesus Christ. Psalm 139, verse 1 reads, Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I stand up. You understand my thoughts from far away. You observe my travels and my rest. You are aware of all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know all about it, Lord. Wow. You have encircled me. You have placed your hand on me. This extraordinary knowledge is beyond me. It is lofty. I am unable to reach it. Listen to what he's writing. He's writing with an understanding that God knows every part of his being, every part of his existence, everything he has done, everything he is doing, and everything he will do. The good, the bad, and the ugly. Before I utter the thoughts that are in my mind and they become words out of my lips, God, you already know about it. He knows the wickedness in my heart. He knows the grand ideas and things I want to do and accomplish. He knows everything. And it's not just when I'm out and busy, but it's when I'm at rest. He knows every part of me. Let's go to verse 13. Verse 13. For it was you who created my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I will praise you because I have been remarkably and wonderfully made. Now, depending on what translation you're looking at right now, it might say fearfully. That's the way I always knew it growing up. I grew up in church. I know a lot of us are brand new to church. I grew up in church and it was fearfully and wonderfully made. Listen to what he's saying. God, you know everything about me, the good, the bad, and the ugly, because it was you that created me. Listen to what he says in verse 14, though. But I'm going to praise you because I have been remarkably and wonderfully made. It's not about the brutal and the beautiful moments. It's about the fact that you're the author of my life. I'm remarkably and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. Think about that. What's he talking about in that moment? See, we could read that in the wrong context. We could read that in the context of looking out at God's creation and saying, wow, God, your works are wonderful. But the context is this. It's as if he's looking in a mirror and he's reflecting on his own life and his own existence and all the mistakes he's made and all the failures he's had and all the brutal moments and yes, the beautiful moments. And he looks at that and says, wow, he's talking about himself. God, your works are wonderful. You don't make mistakes. God, your works are wonderful. He's talking about himself. And I know this very well. My bones were not hidden from you. When I was made in secret, when I was formed in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw me when I was formless. All my days were written in your book and planned before a single one of them began. Wow. Let me read that part again. All my days were written in your book and planned before a single one of them began. Listen to me this morning. Nothing catches God by surprise. Nothing takes him off his course. He knows exactly what's going on in your life. He knows exactly what's going to take place today, tomorrow, the year after, and the year after. Nothing shocks him. He is the author of the story. And therefore, all of the beautiful moments and all the brutal moments have purpose, have context, have meaning to shine forth how good God is. Amen. Let's pray. God, we thank you for your word today. Lord, I pray in the next few moments that we have together that, Lord, you would speak to us. God, that there would be great clarity about the text that we read today. And Lord, we would walk out of this place with a true heart belief that my story matters, that my story counts, that God, no matter what's taken place in my life, the bad things, the ugly things, the sins, the things I've done, Lord, no matter what it is, we would walk out of here saying my story matters. Lord, I pray for the one even now that's sitting there, Lord God, skeptical and in disbelief. I pray that they would grab hold of your word today and your word would speak to them. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen, amen. My daughters have just recently started back up in school like so many of your kids. And one of my daughters is in a writing class. And now writing is completely different than it was back when I was in school. Writing nowadays, they do it on Google Docs. Anybody use Google Docs? No, some of you, okay, maybe you just need to get with the 21st century. All right. Google Docs, it's amazing, but they'll write their paper in there. And then as a parent, we have to go in and edit it for them so when the teacher sees it, they can see the edits, and then they make the corrections. And so you go in and you edit it, and it's like picture perfect. You can just highlight it, and then it sends a little note off to the side with the suggestion, and it's right all there, all nice and all pretty, and you can just click accept, and it changes everything for you. But there really isn't much to edit because we have this thing called autocorrect. Come on, somebody. Right? It's called stupid correct, right? Like I learn nothing because I see it squiggly in red and I just hit it and it fixes it for me. I don't know what it fixed, but it fixed it, right? I'm so happy for that function. It is fixed. And so, you know, if they don't catch it that way, we catch something grammatically or whatever. Now, here's something you need to understand. My wife does most of the editing because the truth be told that if I had to write my sermons rather than preach my sermons, you wouldn't understand them. Because I am a really horrible speller, all right? And so I'm a much better communicator because you can't see that I'm misspelling every word that's coming out of my mouth right now, praise Jesus. It's not my fault. I speak phonetically, all right? But she does most of the editing. But as I've helped edit, I've learned the English language a little better and become better at that. But, you know, there's all this neat little stuff and she can just correct. Now, here's the thing. Once you click on it and correct it, you never know if there was actually a mistake. It's fixed. It's boom. It's like that. And you can just send your paper and they get it and it's just clean and fresh and you don't know which mistakes they made or where the mistakes were at. It is just done. There it is. It's like a final draft. Boom. There it is. Right? This is much different than when I grew up. Okay? Now most of you that are probably 35 or under won't understand what I'm about to mention to you. Okay? But if you're of the age of 35 or older, you will get and you will feel my pain. We did not have Google Docs. We did not have computers, all right? We had a thing called a typewriter. Anybody know what a typewriter is? Yeah, some of you are like, yeah, isn't that, that thing in that museum that you can go and look at? Yeah, shut up, right? This is what I wrote my papers on. Now, as things advanced, they came up with digital typewriters that could actually correct mistakes. But no, I didn't have one of those. I had point and peck, come on, somebody, typewriter, click, click. Click, 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 click. Ah, mistake, right? And now here's what happened if you made a mistake. You would either rip the paper out, throw it away and start all over, or you would pull out a thing called whiteout. Now I know most of you don't know what whiteout is because you got the squiggly red line and it's autocorrect. We had a thing called whiteout. Now if you do know what whiteout is, you're thinking of the whiteout strips. No, we didn't have whiteout strips. We didn't even know what that was. That was revolutionary when whiteout strips came out. Come on, are you with me? It was like, rejoice, right? No, we had this thing called liquid whiteout. And if you made a mistake as you were pointing and pecking and typing your paper on a typewriter, you would wait until you were done and then you would wheel it out, right? And then you would get the whiteout, you would shake it up. Come on, somebody. You would shake it up and you'd pull out the little brush and you would gently dab where the mistake is because you didn't want it to bleed all over because then it's going to ruin the next sentence. Right? See, some of you are like, what? Did you grow up in the caveman days? Kinda, right? And you would gently, and then you would grab it. What would you do? Because you are typing your paper minutes before it's due. You don't have time. You got to get the hair dryer on it. Come on, somebody. And then you got to wheel it back in and you got to line it up perfectly, which you can never do. And then you fill in with the correction, okay? But you know what? There was something so profound about that. Because what would happen was is you could submit that and they could see where your mistake was, but they can see that the mistake was fixed. And you know what? That's the way the spiritual journey is supposed to be lived. The spiritual journey is not supposed to be lived in such a way that I'm submitting a final draft every single time. See, when you submit a final draft, see, that's the way we live today. Man, we can just click fixed, and we want to just submit a final draft. That is not the way God intended the spiritual journey to be lived or to be seen by others. The spiritual journey ought to look a lot like a bunch of whiteout spots, where all of a sudden you can look back and say, well, what happened there? Well, Jesus. Well, what happened there? Grace. Well, what happened there? Healing. Well, what happened there? Are you with me? That's the way the spiritual journey is supposed to be lived. But yet we are in a society where we want to cover all of our mistakes and all of our stuff. And we want to submit final drafts every single time so that life looks perfect. But life don't look perfect. Life looks a lot of like, I'm just trying to line this up. And okay, there it is. I know it looks a little bit messy. So does the spiritual journey. It looks messy. And then the teacher gets it. And they write all over it with red ink, pointing to stuff with arrows. But you walk away. Listen to me. Back in the day, man, it was like you know, your five-page paper, like by the time you're done, you have like 40 pages because of all the drafts. See, I think something's been lost. We want everything to be picture perfect. We want to omit all the mistakes. We want to get rid of all that and say, look at this. Look at that. When God says, uh-uh, let them see the whiteout. Let them see the red ink. Let them see that my blood covered those mistakes and healed that and fixed that and restored that and brought that back together and put this in there. Because your story matters. Not just the beautiful parts, but the brutal parts. Your story matters. Your story matters. Your story, but we want it to be perfect, right? That's why, come on, let's be honest with ourselves. I know we follow each other on social media, and I know who all the selfie person people are in here. Come on. But you know what I really wish you'd do? I wish you'd publish the 127 pictures you took before you got to that perfect one, right? Right? Trying to get it right, the sun in your eyes. Oh, hair is not right, right? Who posts the first one? Listen, me and my wife, we were just on a trip, and everywhere we went, man, in the most popular areas, they were selling selfie sticks, which I wish I was the guy that invented the selfie stick. Brilliant, right? But I don't need a selfie stick because I got a built-in one. Come on, somebody. But every picture, every single picture we take, babe, you got to be on this side. Why? Because I can't take it with my left hand. Right? And so finally, by the end of the trip, we were there and we got it mastered, right? But I'm really tall. And so the angles, you know, and so almost we figured out, well, if you squat and I stand on my toes, right? So we get it all perfect. Click. And we're like, nope, that one's not good enough. Hi. Click. No, my hair. Click. No, your eyes. I like my eyes. I know, but they're squinty. Retake it. Okay, you know? Just like. So we're showing the pictures to our girls. We're like, why are there like 14 pictures in that one spot? Instagram, right? Let's be honest. Because we want to produce something that looks acceptable. Something that looks perfect. That's not the Christian life. Christian life is messy. And the Christian life looks like an old school written paper. Tight. With white out everywhere and red ink. But it's that which gives it context. Because the end result isn't a perfect picture for you. The end result is a perfect Jesus for the world to see. And yet we try to hide it, but if we would understand this, here's the thing, and the reason we try to hide it is because we want people to accept us. We want people to like us. Like. We want that. But here's the thing, if we understand that, yes, people will be attracted to our strengths. People are attracted to strengths, but they connect with your weaknesses. Oh, what might initially draw them in is this strong, oh my gosh, I like that, and they're drawn in. But listen to me, if you are never transparent and you don't allow people to see that you ain't perfect, they won't connect. Because the reality is, deep down in all of our hearts, we know that we imperfect. We know that we got jacked up moments. And we just want to find that point of connection with somebody else that is struggling as well. David understood this, where he could write with boldness and with context and say, although I'm adulterer, white out. Although I'm a murderer, white out. Although I've made a lot of mistakes, white out. I am still God's child and I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, God. He could write that. And he can mean it. And I believe if we can understand a couple of things from this text, that we can walk away today and say, you know what? My life, my story really does matter. The first thing I see in this is this, in this passage is, as David writes, and it's so significant, and we got to understand it, that we must realize I am uniquely made. I'm uniquely made. I love how he words this in the passage, and he uses the word knit. He said, in my mother's womb, you knit me together. You chose the thread. You chose the needle. You chose the pattern. You chose what it was going to look like. And as I was being formed for nearly 10 months in my mother's womb, you were at work in that, and you were in the process, and you were putting the uniqueness of who I am in that body, in that person, in that soul. And so all the likes that I have, and all the dislikes that I have, and all the propensities that I have, and the tendencies that I have, that God, you were involved. Involved in that, what draws me into this, or what pulls me away from that? That God, I'm unique, and this is who I am, and you had a hand in that. I'm unique, and not only does this help me understand my own personalities and my own struggles, but what it does is it helps me understand other people. Because I've shared it with us time and time again, the problem with us is that we tend to look at everybody else through the filter of who we are. And so if I don't understand that I'm unique, I don't understand that he took time with me for 10 months and I am the way I am because he created me that way, we think everybody ought to be this way. But that's not the truth of God's word. I am different from Brandon. I am different from Steve. I am different from McGill. I'm different. I'm you. Yes, maybe the overarching idea of humanity is all the same, but the way that's walked out and the way I portray it and the way I'm involved in it is completely different. And so therefore I can accept other people as well as accept myself and the uniqueness of who I am and how he created me. I'm unique. He created me. He knit me. And there's one idea with knitting, that the limited knowledge I have is, even though you might be doing the same pattern as somebody else, the colors can be different. The total outcome can look completely different because it's all unique. Your life, you're made, you're created, you're unique. The other thing I see here, when I was growing, I grew up in church. Like a lot of you, I had the privilege of growing up in church. And we get to this part of the verse, and I knew it in the New King James Version, and it reads, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. Anybody grew up in church and that's the way you heard it, right? Well, in youth ministry, we used to make fun of that thing because we didn't fully understand the verse. And we would read it and be like, yeah, some people are fearfully made. Ugh, check them out. And some people are wonderfully made, right? And we would just kind of play. And for the longest time, I really thought that's the way this thing read. Like, all those people are fearfully made. Ugh, I don't know what God was thinking with them, right? And then it's like, oh, look at these people are wonderfully made. Yeah, some people, well, you know, it's just life. You were fearfully made. I was wonderfully made, you know, but you're still made, so be happy with it, right? No, the Bible is saying individually, one person, you are fearfully and wonderfully made, right? And here's the thing, is I had to get context and understand the word fearfully. In the translation I read it this morning, it's remarkably, remarkably made. Here's the original word. It's yara, okay? And this is what it means. It means to revere or to hold in awe. Think about this. It means to revere or hold in awe. In other words, God created you fearfully, remarkably. He looks at you and he steps back and he holds you in reverence and he holds you in awe. And he's like, wow, look what I made. Ah, it's the same exact word that when we talk about we have the fear of the Lord, it's not that we're afraid of God. It's not that we're like, oh my gosh, it's God. No, it's like, oh my gosh, wow, gosh, God, wow. Ah, you're amazing. That same word is the word being used about us as his creation. He looks at us and he's like, ah, I did it again. I created a masterpiece. Fearful, remarkably made. And if nothing else, this ought to give you a great appreciation for yourself, but also a great appreciation for humanity. As you look around, that is the one that God said awe about. That is the one that God made. And he stood back and he's like, oh my word. This is the word. Wow. And he holds us in reverence. He holds us in awe. The centerpiece of all creation. Humanity. I'm remarkably made. It's a pretty powerful thought. But you're also, it says, you're also wonderfully made. This is the word pala. And it means, listen to this now, it means to be distinct, be separated, be distinguished, to be wonderful. I am wonderful. I'm distinguished. I'm separated from everybody else, and so are you. There is no other you. You are the only you on the face of the planet. And God breathed life into you, and when he breathed life into you, he breathed purpose into you, and he wrote your story out. Before you ever lived one day, he said, "Wow, it's going to be really good." You're wonderful. You are wonderful. Do you believe that today? Do you believe that you are wonderfully made? Do you believe that you are remarkable? Do you believe that you are unique? Okay? Listen, there is no photocopy of you, right? See, I know that some people believe, you know, that you know what, that God in heaven just had one gigantic copy machine, right? Come on, you ever seen the big copy machines? And he created Adam, and he created Eve, and then he slapped them down, closed the lid, and 6 billion, and hit print, and out came humanity. Cha-chunk. Cha-chunk. It's an old printer, okay? Cha-chunk. Cha-chunk. Cha-chunk, cha-chunk. And God said, well, I'm going to let that run its course. And he turned around and went and did something else. Only to come back and realize that the toner started running out. Cha-chunk, cha-chunk. And that's why you got black people, cha-chunk. Brown people, cha-chunk. White people, cha-chunk. Right? God intended us all to have a little bit of color, but the toner ran out. Come on, somebody. You're not a copy. You're an original. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. You're unique. Even in all the brutal moments of your life, you are unique and your story matters. See, if we can grasp what David was saying here, knowing in himself all of his failures, all of his mistakes, does it get much worse than adultery? Does it get much worse than murder? But to be able to, with context and with boldness and with understanding and with grace, be able to say, I'm God's child. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. What that does for us today, it tells us that all of the painful moments, the moments of divorce, the moments of adultery, maybe you endured, the moments of misunderstandings, the moments of cheatings, the moments of whatever it is, whatever you walk through, whatever you're walking through right now, you can look and say, man, my story doesn't make sense. And this somehow isn't going to have impact. Listen to me. Nothing takes God by surprise. Continue to embrace him in this moment. Continue to embrace him in your story. And I guarantee you will be like David one day. You'll be able to look in the mirror and say, wonderful are your works. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. But yet, for some reason, we want to use the autocorrect. For some reason, we run from the whiteout. We want to submit the final draft every time. Look at what I did. Look at what I accomplished. Look at what I did. Look. Isn't it beautiful? No, what's beautiful is when you can see the grace of God at work in somebody's life. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. David gets this. But yet we want to cover because we want the likes. But we're settling for something shallow. Because here's the difference. There's a difference between being admired and being adored. And we settle for admiration. But the world gives admiration. It's the world that admires. And so we want to impress the world and we want to impress other people. So look, they admire me. But here's the difference. The world admires us, and this is a temporary value based on performance. Being admired is just temporary value. Based on your performance. Look what I did. Gold star. Look what I accomplished. Like. Oh, I'm going to give him the heart one for that. And that's temporary. Because those same people that admire you for that are the same people that will walk away from you when you screw up. But see, God doesn't admire us. God adores us. And he adores us. This is the word adore. It means to appreciate or appreciate how and who we are regardless of what we do. He adores us. He doesn't put value on us because of our performance. He doesn't put value on us because, oh, you had a beautiful moment. I love you, child. Oh, you had a brutal moment. Yeah, love for you went down. No. No, he adores us. No matter what we do, if we do nothing, if we achieve, we don't achieve, if we have success, if we have failures, he adores us. He is into us 100%, 100% of the time. Loves you. Doesn't just admire you, he adores you. I love what Romans 9:25 says in this paraphrased message. It says, I will call nobodies and make them somebodies. I'll call the unloved and make them loved. In the place where they yelled out, you're nobody, they are calling you God's living children. Let me read that last part again. In the place where they yelled out, you're nobody, they are calling you God's living children. Wow. What if we lived life allowing the whiteouts to be seen? The mess ups, the screw ups. Those carefully typed letters back in over the whiteout that aren't quite lined up. And we can say, yeah, that was Jesus. He entered in this scene. Yeah, that part, oh, let me tell you about that part. That's where my marriage was on the rocks, and man, it was not looking good, and man, it looked like hopelessness and despair, but you know what, Jesus. Oh, this one over here, this one. Oh, this is where my child stopped serving God. And I literally began to lose hope, and I literally, in my own existence, began to walk away from God because he wasn't rescuing my child, so he didn't rescue my child, and I didn't think that he had anything for me, and yet God showed up there. Oh, this is where I was trying to find my value in people and trying to find my value in how many likes and things that I could get and my approval of men. But then, you know, I realized something that was void and it was empty. And then Jesus stepped in. Oh, this part over here, this is where I got diagnosed with cancer. And I got diagnosed with cancer over here. And the doctors said they couldn't help and they couldn't find a cure and they couldn't find an answer. But my church community got around me and they began to pray for me. And today I'm cancer free. Oh, this part over here, this is where I was dealing with some mental struggles and it was turning into nightmares and I was having suicidal thoughts and I was actually in deep depression because I didn't think there was any value in me. But then Jesus entered the picture. There's nothing wrong with whiteout. The world needs to see the whiteout. The world needs to see the scars. You're like, it doesn't need a final draft every single time. It needs the process that you are struggling through. It needs the process that you are walking through. It needs the struggles. It needs to see that because it's in that he is glorified. In my weakness, he is made strong. It's no surprise that in John chapter 20, verses 19 through 20, when Jesus is now paid the price on the cross for all humanity. And one of the first things he does with his disciples, let me read it to you. John 20, 19 through 20, it says, in the evening of the first day of the week, the disciples were gathered together with the doors locked because of the fear of the Jews. Then Jesus came. Maybe three of the most powerful words that you'll hear today. Then Jesus came, stood among them and said to them, peace to you. And then look what he does, verse 20, the very first thing he does, having said this, he showed them his hands and his side. So the disciples rejoiced when they saw it was the Lord. The very first thing, Jesus pays the price for all of humanity, all the brutal moments, all the sins, all of the mistakes, all of the cares, all of the worries, all the fears. He takes them upon himself in that moment on the cross, and his hands are nailed to the cross, and his side is pierced. And the very first thing he does to his community when he shows back up, he says, look at the scars. Look at that. It's not a wound. It's a reminder. It's a scar. And I believe it's a reminder to say that in this human journey, you will have scars. You will have whiteout marks, and it's okay. It's a part of the journey. But secondly, I believe he did it because he said, look, yeah, there was something there, but now it's healed. Now it's restored. Now it's mended. You might get scars in your spiritual journey. You might have some whiteout marks, but God is going to heal that, and he's going to use it to your story matters not only to you, your story matters to somebody else. If we would only be like Jesus and say, here's my whiteout marks. Here's the things that happened in my life. Watch and see how God uses your story to impact somebody else. Stop submitting final drafts on everything you do and allow the process to take place so that other people can find healing in Jesus' name. God, we thank you for your word today. God, we thank you that your word is awesome. Do me a favor as we close. Just stand to your feet. Hallelujah. God, you're good. God, your word brings life. And just do me a favor as you're standing there. Just close your eyes for a moment. Because there's some of you in here that are living right now in some brutal moments. And this message means more to you than maybe right now to the person sitting next to you. You're walking through some brutal moments. It doesn't make sense. Had this dream. Had this idea. We even felt like it was a God thing. We stepped out. We started to walk it. But it never materialized. Because it didn't materialize, there was so much invested in that. It feels like life's over. Nothing makes sense. You can just rest back in the idea that God's writing your story. He's right. It's unique. Doesn't look like my story. Doesn't look like some. If you can just rest back in the fact that he is the author of your story, he's making something wonderful. He's making something remarkable. Even these moments of craziness, these moments of brutality, these moments of pain, these moments of uncertainty can begin to make sense. See, when you're looking at the canvas as the painter is painting, not every stroke makes sense. But it's when the painter finishes and steps back that every stroke of that painting comes together and creates something beautiful. Stop looking at the individual stroke. It's time to take a step back and allow the master painter to continue to work. There's something beautiful on the other side of your pain. There's something beautiful on the other side of your pain. All those who God uses greatly have been wounded deeply. You might be sitting here today in deep pain. Know that God is getting ready to use you greatly. Your story matters. It matters to God, and it matters to others. Every eye closed, every head bowed, you're in this place, and you would say, Pastor, I'm walking through. I don't have the scar yet. It's still a deep wound. It's still a wound, and I need healing. It's still a wound, and I need healing. Some of you in here, I don't know what that painful moment is, but he wants to bring healing and turn it into a scar, turn it into a testimony, turn it into a wide-out spot, so you can say, look what Jesus did. There's some of you in here that you haven't even allowed the author to be introduced into your life. You just need to surrender to him today and say, Jesus, I need you. With every eye closed and every head bowed, you know where you're at in this journey. And I want to take a moment. I'll come up here in just a moment. I'll pray for every single person that comes up. No matter what you're walking through, no matter what you're dealing with, but you're here today and say, Pastor, I need healing. I'm carrying around the wounds. I need them to become scars so I can testify the goodness of Jesus Christ. You know who you are on the count of three. If that's you, 1, 2, 3, just shoot your hand in the air right now. Come on, just shoot your hand high. Come on, there's healing for you today.
come on, there's redemption for you today. There's restoration for you today. There's hope for you today. Hallelujah. Lord, I lift up all of those that are here this morning, God, raising their hands, saying, that's me. I need that. I need that healing. I need that restoration. I need that touch. I need that in my life. I need this to move on and become a star so that I can move forward with the great things that God has for me. Lord, I pray that today, I pray that in this moment, they would walk out of here truly believing, every single one of us truly believing that our story matters. In Jesus' mighty name, amen, amen, amen.
Thank you for joining us today. For more information, please visit our website at www.canvaschurchsd.com.